You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
All right, kids, it's summer and we're going on vacation. Oh, yeah. Look at that, kids, the Grand Canyon. Wow. Oh, boy, the Redwood Forest. Those trees are over 2,000 years old. Mount Rushmore. How did they do that? Oh, man, Niagara Falls. You can almost feel the mist, kids. Oh, boy, wasn't that fun.
Get the lights, dear.
All right, Steve, that's it. This family is so tired of staying at home and watching your old 8mm travel movies. Yuck. Would you please break down and take the car to Perfection Auto Works so we can have a real vacation?
This summer, take America by storm and don't miss out on the real thing. Perfection Auto Works will make your car road ready to see the good old USA, from brakes to tires, and our free 26-point inspection, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
See the USA in your Chevrolet.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon. The John C. Scott Political Forum, the most talked to, talked about, and listened to political talk show weekends in all of Arizona. Thanks for making that possible. Broadcasting live from the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Today, Sam Stone, GOP strategist, will talk about Trump's visit to Arizona. Bill Lake will be with us. He's a candidate for Constable District 8. Ed Ackerley, independent candidate for mayor, will be here as well. Then we'll talk with Larry Bodine of the Democrats of Greater Tucson jam-packed show. Let's get to it. Here's Sam Stone. Sam, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
John, thank you very much for having me.
What's at stake for Trump here? He's obviously going to support Kerry Lake over Robson. Probably he's going to support Farnsworth over Bowers, the former House Speaker. And then, of course, for Secretary of State Fincham, what's at stake for Trump, let alone these candidates?
Well, and Abe Hamadeh for Attorney General, Blake Masters for U.S. Senate. Look, the fact is Trump is trying to reset a power base for what looks like a pretty obvious now presidential run in 24.
So this means, obviously, that's the beginning of his run again, right? I mean, this is not just, I want to be known now.
The signals look pretty clear at this point. I mean, I would have put it, 60-40. He ran 2 months ago. Now I would put it 90-10 or something like that. Unless he's looking to pull a fast one, that would certainly get the attention of the world.
What's the chances of him, a clean sweep, winning them all?
Well, in terms of the Republican primary, I think it's pretty good. Blake Masters surged from, kind of the bottom of a three-way scrum when he got Trump's endorsement. He looks like he's got pretty clear sailing. Abe Hamadeh emerged from the pack when he got Trump's endorsement. Of course, Kerry Lake jumped out to a big lead early, and Karen Taylor Robeson has now spent more than double what anyone has ever spent in the history of Arizona elections, not just in the primary, but through the general. And so far, Kerry Lake's still holding up in the polls.
So what is it? You know Lake pretty well. I've pretty much written her off as kind of a nutcase, but somebody said, well, you were premature on that one. What makes you think she's a very legitimate candidate when so many people say, wow, I can't believe she said that?
Well, I think a lot of the, wow, I can't believe she said that comes down to the election stuff. And I can agree with her that I think there's, you know, a lot of ways to say it was stolen from Trump, from press suppressing the Hunter Biden laptop to promoting the Russia conspiracy theory, all those things, adding in ballot harvesting and, a voter roll that's 20 years overdue for a cleaning.
You don't believe it was stolen, do you? Come on.
I don't know.
No. Please, God, don't say that. Really.
No, well, I mean, here's the problem, John. I think the count was accurate. I don't think it was the machines or anything like that. But why on earth do Democrats in this and so many other states fight to keep dead people on the voter rolls? I mean, give me one good reason for that.
Well, give me one good reason how many are dead or wherever. But I don't remember that being a part of the problem here in Arizona.
It's a problem statewide when you haven't cleaned your voter rolls in now, you know, decades, and you do automatic balloting.
But there has been no proof whatsoever that this race was stolen from Donald Trump. No proof whatsoever.
Well,
speculation.
In terms of the count, I would agree. And I think ballot harvesting is incredibly hard to prove. But I think you can look at the 2000 Mules documentary, which frankly was well done, and see a pattern. And Democrats, you know, I always throw this out there. Look, Chicago and New York have never had a clean election. It's literally a running joke in those two states. And do people really believe some of those things wouldn't occur elsewhere?
Well, I ask you about Lake. Is she going to win this thing?
She's been holding up in the polls. I think she is. But I put it at a 60-40, maybe a coin toss at this point. Karen Taylor Robeson getting, you know, massive help from kind of the Republican establishment and also just spending a vast amount of money. But Lake has held up.
Well, Pence obviously was in town for her as well as others. How significant is that, the vice president's
Pence, I don't think is that significant. It came out, at least from one thing I saw from Jason Rose yesterday, that Ducey is the one that talked Salmon into leaving the race, and then he endorsed. I think those two things are far more significant than Mike Pence, to be honest.
Is the Ducey endorsement a key here?
I don't know if it's a key, you know, but I mean, it certainly solidifies what are the stakes in this and where the battle line is drawn. And it's drawn between, you know, kind of the traditional McCain-Ducey Republican wing of the party. And the America First wing of the party.
You've been involved in some big money campaigns all across this country. I don't know anybody that has more savvy or knowledge about how much money to spend and how effective it can be and how effective it can't be. At what point were you just, it doesn't make any difference how much money you have. You've done everything you can do, and you start doing the same thing over again. I mean, seriously, when does it just start to become a diminishing return?
Yeah, you're seeing diminishing returns, but when you're talking about a very close race and someone whose husband is willing to throw, you know, as of the last cycle quarter, $15 million basically into the race for her, that's an enormous, you're going to keep throwing spaghetti in the wall and see how many pieces you can get to stick, and that's what they're doing. You know, right now they're throwing entire pots full of spaghetti, and if one piece sticks, they'll take it, no matter how much it costs.
All right, I'll give you a Lake, but you can't have Fincham, please. I'm honest to God, I won't let you do that. No, seriously, I won't.
Well,
so
you
if
know,
you ask I've me, seen, I'm going to tell you no. No.
I've seen exit polling, if you will, of early ballot returns that actually showed that race as being a lot closer than it looked up to now. So that one is probably a three-way shootout.
Really, that's still undecided, do you think?
Yeah, I think actually you may see either Bolick or Eugenti Rita come up with a bigger percentage than people expect. I think just between the two women, a lot of times races like this, people know who they're voting for at the very top of the ticket, but you know how many people have been to a debate in the Secretary of State's race? You know, how many people have paid attention? How much has it been on TV? It's not. You have to be deeply into political minutia to have paid attention.
All right. Tell me this. How much can we credit Randy Bowers with being a profile in courage rather than somebody who just threw away his political future? What you tell me.
It's not entirely one or the other, to be honest. I mean, I think he absolutely is convicted in what he has said, and he may well be right. But at the end of the day, he's also a part of the underlying story behind this is he's voted against a lot of, you know, not crazy, very sensible things that Republicans have promised their constituents they would do for a long time. Where he's consistently been one of, you know, two or three people who have shut those things down. And there comes a time when you're going to pay a price for that, regardless of anything regarding Trump and the election.
But going back to Washington to say what he had to say about January 6th and such, and the pressure that Trump put on him, I think was a courageous act. I think he realized there was a political liability to do that.
But it isn't in another sense. He has drawn, you know, like I said, every race right now in the Republican Party comes down to a more traditional establishment Republican versus America First Republican. And in his race, the battle lines are very clearly drawn with he and Farnsworth. So for him, there is no political, you know, long before he went to Washington. So there's no political downside to doing it. And it increases his national profile.
What are the chances of the sweep we talked about with Trump winning them all across the board? Is that, you say it's possible?
Yeah, I think it is.
Good Lord.
I mean, I'm not sure what percentage I would put on it right now. That's, I think, very up in the air. I think especially Secretary of State and Governor are very, very much up in the air. So, you know, in AG, too. I mean, three out of those four races, It's hard to say that there's someone who is, you know, a certain winner.
Sam Stern, political strategist, GOP consultant. What is the turnout going to look like here a week from Tuesday?
Well, what's interesting is early ballot returns so far on the Republican side have actually been pretty slow, which may be the Trump effect of a lot of people are going to take them in and turn them in at, you know, either at polling places or on election day, go to the polls. So that will be really interesting. Turnout that day, potentially lines in areas, that kind of thing. You know, what I'm telling people is, hey, if you've got that early ballot, get it turned in, take it in now, drop it off somewhere if that makes you more comfortable, but do that. Because I think we're actually got potential this year for some pretty long lines at some polls.
Sam Stone, we're about out of time here. I apologize for the brevity of this, but I got a jam-packed show, but you are a great part of it, and I'm so glad you decided to join me. Thanks for your insight and your observations. I truly appreciate them very much.
You too, John.
All right,
have a great day.
Good to talk with you. Sam Stone, who's also a candidate for the city council in Phoenix in their bizarre, weird way they elect council people. You just can't make up how dumb that is. You just can't. We'll be back talking about Constable Precinct 8. And Bill Lake after these messages. Together they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out. Most of Legislative District 9 and Legislative District 10 are now Legislative District 18. Two longtime lawmakers have retired from the district. To fill the vacancy, Nancy Gutierrez has stepped in to run for the House seat. Nancy Gutierrez is one of the most qualified candidates to run for the legislature from Southern Arizona. Nancy is a school teacher, a mother, a fighter of women's rights and sensible gun legislation. Nancy is an advocate for public education. I'm John C. Scott. I ask you to vote for Nancy Gutierrez for the State House of Representatives. Nancy will be a lawmaker we can be proud of. Nancy Gutierrez is the right person at the right time to serve Southern Arizona. This message is paid for by Nancy for AZ. Go to her website for more information. That's nancyforaz.com. From the Perfection.org studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Bill Lake is with me. He's a candidate for Constable. He's a Republican running in Justice Precinct 8. We ask you to support him, and let's find out why we would do that.
Bill Lake, good to talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you for having
You're
me.
You're not related to the lady running for governor, right?
Actually, I don't know any relation. We do have the same last name, but nothing as far as my family tree.
This is an unusual race for constable because you are a write-in candidate. Explain why.
Okay, I am currently the constable for Justice Precinct 5. Due to the redistricting, Justice Precinct 5 went away and is becoming part of Justice Precinct 8. So in order to keep my job and continue my service and what I've been doing, I need to go in as a constable for Justice Precinct 8.
And you're Republican.
Yes, sir.
Why the write-in part of it?
The sitting constable that was in Justice Precinct 8 left just before the April 4th cutoff. When she left, she was a Democrat. The Board of Supervisors had to appoint a Democrat into that seat. So I missed the initial write or initial the signatures
right.
in order to getting all the signatures to get on the ballot. So
because of the calendar, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So this is the only way you, what do you need to get qualified for the ballot? How many signatures?
I'm looking for 500 signatures.
All right.
Which should be easy to do if people know me.
But they got to write Bill Lake.
They have to write in Bill Lake, 8 letters, 2 words, and they have to make sure they circle in the oval, fill in the oval.
And you've been a constable for how long?
I've been a constable for just under 1 year now.
All right. What makes you want to be a constable? This is a tough job.
It is a tough job, but it really depends on how you do it. The constable is responsible for enforcing the rule of the court. So we go out there and we do evictions, which is the majority of what we do. We do restraining orders. We do civil summons, criminal summons, seizures for the court. But as I said, the largest part of what we do is evictions. That's what everyone knows us about. After COVID-19, with the housing markets going up the way they are, rents going up, we're seeing a lot more evictions. We're close to about 800 evictions a month. Just within Pima County.
There's two approaches to this. One, a constable can say, get the hell out. This is my job. I got a court order. Get out. Or I'm going to try to help you out,
correct.
Not throw you out. And there's a huge difference, isn't there?
There is a huge difference. By statute, by law, all we have to do is take the court's papers, knock on the door, and say, grab your cell phone, your chargers, your medications, and some work clothes, and you've got to get out of here. You'll have 14 days within to make one appointment to get the rest of your stuff out within that 14-day period. So that's all that's required. Now, I take a different stance of this is a very traumatic time in someone's life. Granted, they've had 45 days through the court system to know it's coming. But when you actually back someone into a corner saying, I'm going to take away your home, they tend to get a little bit more aggressive.
Big damn deal, isn't it?
Yes, it is a big deal. So I go out early and I put a brochure on their door or I give it to them in person if I can, letting them know that the eviction is coming up. It's going to be in 2 days. I'm going to come back. Here's a list of things you need to do to prep for that. It gives them 2 days to get their stuff and move out. Or, on the betterment, it gives them 2 days to catch up on their rent and they can stay in their house. So ultimately, really what the landlord wants is their money. So, and if they haven't paid, that's why they're doing the eviction. Now, granted, there are evictions for other things such as, you know, breach of contract or, you know, they're doing drugs or something else in there. That's a different story. But for the non-payments, you know, we can go out there and offer them, you know, rapid rehousing, get them into an apartment complex they might be able to afford. We can offer them job placement services. We can help them with rental assistance because there's funds available within the county to do that. All of these things, especially if you knock on a door and say you've got 15 minutes to get out and you notice the person's, as I said, a 70-year-old man who's on a nasal cannula for oxygen going through chemotherapy. That's not someone we want to add to the homeless population. So I can turn around and by going out early, identify that, get the social services involved, adult protection services, medical services, and everything else, and probably try and keep him in that apartment or get him somewhere where he'll be safe.
We need people to write your name in Bill, B-I-L-L-L-A-K-E, Bill Lake, and they need to do that. That'll qualify you for the ballot.
That'll get me on the ballot. And then once they get me on the ballot, then I will actually be printed on the general ballot.
And then you're running, obviously.
And then I'll be running as the Republican candidate.
This is a dangerous job at times, isn't it? You ever frightened about this job from time to time?
As I said, the way I do business mitigates a lot of that danger. By going out early, I go out in khaki pants and a black polo shirt when I give brochures to the tenants. That way, I'm human to them. And I'm talking to them, telling them what their options are. Now, granted, when I go out and I do the evictions, then I've got the gun belt on, I've got the body armor on. Because, once again, if you corner somebody, that's when they're going to fight back. But since I've already been out there and I've talked to them, they don't see me as a threat anymore. They don't see me as the quote-unquote popo, you know, throwing them out, making them homeless. They see me as an asset to try and help them.
And law enforcement backs you up at times, right?
Yes. So we have the radios. We can call in when we're going to someplace. We get the codes on there. They've already been through the court, so we already know their history. So if I go out there and they've got a bunch of flags on there that, you know, they're violent people and, you know, or the landlord tells me, hey, they've been going around waving a gun, then I will call in on the radio, let them know my location, and usually call for a backup.
So you look back at this year, it was a year of learning too, wasn't it? An education.
It is. Life is a constant learning. So when you stop learning, that's pretty much when it should be over. So yes, it's been a learning experience the entire time. And I've been trying to just go with it and improve it as I've gone along.
All right. So you've been out talking with people. Are they aware of what a constable is or does? Are they just going, who are you and why are you at my door?
There are two types of people that I like to say. There's those that go, what's a constable? And then the other ones that go, oh. You know, the ones that go, oh, have usually dealt with a constable. And yeah, as I said, it's not usually a pleasant experience for someone who's dealt with a constable due to the circumstances of what we do. But then the other people know. Most people don't know what a constable is. It's one of those positions on the ballot that nobody pays any attention to. We don't affect policy. We're not legislatures. We're not creating laws. We are enforcing those laws. So it just kind of gets pushed to the side. No one knows the constables.
Constables been around a long time.
Since the territorial days of the Constitution, yep.
Right, and all are elected, right?
For this, yes, month. All the constables are elected, just like the sheriff. Sheriff enforces the rule of law, and as I said, the constables enforce the ruling of the court.
All right, once again, tell people how they can get you on the ballot for the general election.
If you are in Justice Precinct 8, you will see at the bottom of the ballot on the backside, it says constable. And it has a check mark for write-in. Fill in that oval and write in Bill, B-I-L-L, Lake, L-A-K-E. Simple process. If you get that done and you can get me on the ballot as the Republican candidate, then I will be there on the November election.
Good. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate your time.
Please write in Bill Lake for Constable Precinct 8. KPOI, trusted local news and talk. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum. From the Fiction Network Studios, we'll be back with Ed Ackerley, candidate for mayor, after this.
This is Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works. I think advertising ought to be stunning and get your attention with sound effects, car chases, gunfire, explosions, intersecting plot lines, multiple ideas, and what's that all got to do with Perfection Auto Works? Well, nothing really. In fact, it's kind of quiet here, absent the ratchet or our ringing phone. We do the planned maintenance on your car, such as brakes, hoses, tires, alignment, air conditioning, and all other things automotive. Just like our jam-packed radio commercials, our auto service gives you 100% satisfaction. From brakes, belts, and even our free 26-point inspection, call today. 323-8650 and PerfectionAutoWorks.com. 323-8650.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With us is Ed Ackerley, candidate for mayor. Is there a mayoral candidate race this year? No. But it's next year, and it started now. Ed, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You've got this underway already.
We do. We've started. We've signed all the paperwork to be an official candidate. We're already taking donations, and next week we begin the process of collecting about 2,500 signatures. We don't have the exact number yet from the city clerk, but it'll be 2,500 probably.
All right, but let's talk a little bit about the issues, and they're almost the same issues you ran with the last time when you ran against, Romero. The whole idea was we don't have the kind of police force we need, and we haven't had for a long time, and we're paying a terrible price for that. People are not securing their homes. Trust me. Yeah. I've been a victim of having my door kicked in.
Right.
You know, I'm waiting for the police to come and go, you're right, it's kicked in.
Right. Well, you know, I attended in the Operations South Division had a get-together last Thursday night, and I went to that, and it was great to hear some of the new things that Chief Kazmar is doing with the realignment of the people that are in charge and what they're trying to do to face some of these problems of gangs and murderers and homelessness and so forth. And to be honest with you, I'm very impressed with the way he's rearranging things. At least we're heading in the right direction. Instead of just giving up, we're starting to address these issues. So I was very pleased with the presentation that they gave, and I have a one-on-one with Chief Kazmar coming up in 2 weeks.
What's the solution here? It's more cops, obviously, but what else?
Well, I think we really have to start there. I think we have to start with the more cops. A short maybe 15, 20 years ago, we had almost 1,200 police officers. We're down to well under 650. 643 is the number I've
That's
heard.
That's outrageous.
And they just don't, they're stretched so thin. To every cop that I have talked to on the beat who's been at an event that I've engaged, they just say, we need the help, we need the people, we're not that they're overworked. We all work hard, but they just need some support. And so my goal is to, you know, we gotta turn the ship around and get us 1,000 police officers back in the city of Tucson as fast as we can. Maybe
how fast can you do that?
Well, the city manager has a couple 180 or 200 lines in the budget for police officers. It's a recruiting issue. It's a training issue. It's an academy issue. But I'm a marketing guy. I say we go to Phoenix. We go to the other parts of the state that we recruit back some of the guys that left us. You know, Raytheon offered a $50,000 signing bonus for some new engineers out at their plant. You know, there's some things we can do to incentivize these Arizona police officers to come back, that they're already certified by Arizona, and so they don't need any training per se. They just need to know the system that the TPD uses. But we could also go to neighboring states and other states and get them quickly accredited under Arizona statute. And so, other jurisdictions are coming to Tucson and recruiting our police officers to go to their places. We should be doing the same and recruiting people and keeping the ones that we have.
Isn't it fair to say that Tucson is a much more violent town than it ever has been?
Well, you know, we made the top 10 list of murders per capita. And the growth of that, we had 93 murders last year in Tucson. We're on pace to probably be close to that again. The police are responding to that, but there's only so much they can do when they're so shorthanded. And we have to have a solution is to obviously have more hands on deck. So we need more police officers, and we need more community involvement and other things. We got to get police officers to stop having to be mental health counselors and get them to do their job of being peace officers. And that's what my goal would be. And I am very excited about the direction that Chief Kazmar is heading in right now. And I think that will be a good move in the right direction.
I have a friend of mine that is a bus driver, lives in my townhouse complex, has been for years. I've been there 25 years. He's been there a little bit longer than that. He said, you can't believe, since it's free, the number of nutcases that get on my bus.
Right.
He said, I spend more time paying attention to the crazies that are on my bus to get out of the heat and are nuts than I do driving.
Right.
He said, I pull over when there's no passengers just to tell people to shut the hell up
and
sit out. He said, it's the most dangerous job I've ever known.
Right.
And he's a bus driver.
Right.
You know, I mean, and there's no charge. You just get on the damn things and I'll pay for it. You will too.
Right. No, I am hopeful that some things will change. One of the initiatives that the chief has. So let's just say that in a previous regime, TPD was siloed. What I mean by that was they operated in their own jurisdiction and they didn't cross over necessarily with police departments in other jurisdictions or with the sheriff's department. Chief Kazmar is all about intergovernmental agreements and working with others. So one of the things that I think is really good is TPD is working with the security force at SunTran to try and mitigate some of that problem that's happening of people using the buses as places to live and things to do. And again, things are looking up. We got a lot of work to do, but I think we're heading in the right direction. I think Chief Kazmar was a good hire, at least initially out of the box here. He seems to be doing a good job.
we need water, and we're running out of it.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I mean,
this is serious.
In 2019, people asked me, what are the issues? You know, I basically said it's public safety, it's roads and transportation, it's economic development, which is the engine, it's, you know, our parks and courts and all that. The sleeper issue, which maybe isn't such a sleeper issue anymore, is water. And we are running out of water because of the Colorado River situation. And fortunately, you know, back when we were younger, John, we had the Beat the Peak program because we needed it, because we were down to about 4 years of water in our basin under us. Now they tell me that we're well over 60 years. Some even say as much as 100 years worth of water underneath us in our basin. Again, we've refueled that. But part of that is that we've been banking water for the Phoenix metropolitan area out in Avra Valley and out past Old Tucson out there in those big ponds. And so, we got a lot of water underneath us, but some of it's already allocated to up north. But this is an issue. You know, you can't have a million people in a place like Tucson without water. And we're going to have to do a couple of things all at the same time. Obviously, the Beat the Peak kind of a program needs to be put back in place. And we're going to have to, I'm all for the idea of restarting the desalinization plant in Yuma and retrofitting it to 2023 standards and to even go down further into Mexico if we have to. And let's start bringing in some of that ocean water that before was so expensive it couldn't be done. But we're at a crucial point here that if Lake Mead goes down any further, Tucson's going to be one of the first jurisdictions to be cut its allocation of CAP water, and that's going to be a serious, serious blow to our economy. So we've got to do everything we can to mitigate that.
I've always said, why should I worry about washing my car when somebody's pumping water on their cotton fields at about 100 million to my gallon one?
Right.
But that's a big economy.
Right.
Agribusiness is huge in Arizona because of the water.
And they get a separate allocation from the CAP, and of course, a lot of that goes over to Southern California and the Imperial Valley through the CAP. But, we are behind them. The agriculture gets the allocation before us, and so we're at the bottom of the totem pole. Sorry to use that term. Maybe that's not a good term, but we're at the bottom of that distribution list, and we need to do a really good job of mitigating this issue on our own. So as we move into the 2023 election, I'm going to be talking a lot about water and what we can do as citizens, but also as government officials to make sure that we have enough water for the new people that are moving in as well as the people are here. And that goes to differential water rates. I'm not a big fan of those, and I'm sure the people that live in the county are not too excited about the differential water rates either. I think that we all need to pay for the commodity, and if there's some ways to mitigate water usage, I think we need to explore everything we can.
The RTA, we touched on it the last conversation we had. What about its future?
Well, I think the city has kind of acquiesced a little bit and is probably going to continue on with the RTA and continue to be part of that process. This is an excellent example of intergovernmental cooperation in a region, and I think this is important. I think that different jurisdictions need to work together to solve these transportation issues. You go up to Phoenix and you see what's going on in terms of building of roads and maintenance of roads, and you go out to the outlying towns and cities and you see beautiful roads that have been built. It's because they cooperate and they funnel the money in the appropriate places. So we just passed a city bond to help us mitigate the roads in the neighborhoods and so forth. The RTA is about building new roads and trying to widen the ones that we have and make them easier to. So I'm all in with the RTA. I think that it's a good thing for the city of Tucson because we all live here together. Marana, Oro Valley, Vail, Sahuarita, even down into Green Valley. We're all in this together, and we need to work together to solve our transportation problems.
Let's talk a little bit about how you get on the ballot and how people can help you do that.
Great. I have a website, AckerleyForMayor.com. They can go on right now and give me $10 as a donation. I have to collect 300 $10 donations from people who want to see me on the ballot. And once we get that done, we get general election, clean election funds. I run in the general, and November 7th of 2023 is the date. So I have to get 300 people to give me $10. So you can do that online right now at AckerleyForMayor.com. And then over the course of the next 90 days or so, 120 days, we're going to try and collect up to 5,000 signatures. And I'd like to have people get that information as well and help us with writing their name down if they're a citizen of the city.
We support you for mayor. And
thank you
you'll
so
be
much.
One of the great mayors in our history.
Okay.
Thanks for being
thank
with
us. Thank you so much, John.
Ed
good to talk to you.
As my guest, independent candidate for mayor, 2023. We'll be back with the Democrats of Greater Tucson and their president, Larry Bodine, after these messages. Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture. Most of Legislative District 9 and Legislative District 10 are now Legislative District 18. Two longtime lawmakers have retired from the district. To fill the vacancy, Nancy Gutierrez has stepped in to run for the House seat. Nancy Gutierrez is one of the most qualified candidates to run for the legislature from Southern Arizona. Nancy is a school teacher, a mother, a fighter of women's rights and sensible gun legislation. Nancy is an advocate for public education. I'm John C. Scott. I ask you to vote for Nancy Gutierrez for the State House of Representatives. Nancy will be a lawmaker we can be proud of. Nancy Gutierrez is the right person at the right time to serve Southern Arizona. This message is paid for by Nancy for AZ. Go to her website for more information. That's nancyforaz.com.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Ackerly Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. The following is a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. Here is the president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, Larry Bodine. Hi, Larry. Welcome to the show.
Well, John, it's always a delight to be on your show.
Boy, we're getting close to a primary, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. It's August 2nd is the last day, and then we'll have a terrific slate of Democratic candidates. There are more Democratic candidates than I've ever seen before. We'll have one of them at Democrats of Greater Tucson on our Monday noon Zoom meeting. It's going to be Chris Mathis, who was appointed to the legislature for Arizona House LD 18. If you want to watch Chris, simply go to thedgt.org or just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson, and you can see Chris. He is a law professor, a union member, and an appointed representative for the district, and he's one of 5 candidates running for 2 open seats. So we'll have Chris on Monday. And then, of course, you know, there's always a party for people in Democrats of Greater Tucson to attend. There's going to be a party to honor Victoria Steele. She's a state senator who spent 10 years fighting for our rights. And that's going to be at Brother John's on Stone on July 25th. That's this coming Monday also. And that's going to be at 5:30. She is going to present a wrap-up of the recent Republican led legislative session and recount her dedicated accomplishments. And then we have a really good program, a salon, on Wednesday, July 27, when we are going to present a program on gun violence and gun safety. And the question is, how do we make reforms? And we'll have 2 experts, who will tell us about ways that we can protect ourselves and our school children from gun violence. We're going to have Kelly Ireland from Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America, and we're also going to have Peter Plummer. Peter is a trauma outreach and injury prevention coordinator at Banner, and he's on a gun violence workshop that includes the county attorney, county mental health, and Tucson police. So you can find out about all these programs just by going to thedgt.org, and you can sign up for free, or you can just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson. And that's what we've got coming up, John.
By the way, I think the county attorney's office, I know under Barbara LaWall, the former county attorney, gun locks were given out by the thousands. I assume the county attorney's still doing that. That can save lives, to be sure that your guns in your home are locked up, especially if children around, and you know that your guns are safe, and you are obviously avoiding harm to yourself or to any other innocent individual if you have a gun lock. So that's just a simple thing, but it can save lives, no question.
Oh, that's very true, John. In fact, the county attorney is giving out gun locks for free at the gun show, which is held every quarter on the fairgrounds, and has been giving out gun locks to various community groups where they're invited to speak. You know, that's just one common sense measure to protect yourself from gun violence. The other one is, you know, we need to have universal background checks. Nobody should be getting a weapon, of a military-grade weapon, without a thorough background check to find out if they're fit to be a gun owner. It's, you know, with all of the school shootings, this has become a real hot issue, and even Congress passed some legislation trying to make our families and our school children safe.
By the way, I want people to realize that these districts that you live in now are not the same district that you were in about 6 months ago when they reapportioned everything because of the census. And a lot of people are still confused. I was in your district for a long time, 16, I believe, and now I'm in 18, and I didn't even know that until I found out got something in the mail. I went, oh, my gosh, they've changed my district, so I have to change who I'm going to support for the legislature. Both are heavy Democratic districts, so I don't have a problem with that, but the simple truth of the matter is I wasn't aware of that. And a lot of people aren't, but they can find out if they go to the Democrats of Greater Tucson and just put their address in. They'll know what district they're in.
That's exactly right, John. We have a big red button right on the homepage of thedgt.org, and it says, what's my district? A lot of people don't know, and it's a simple process to just click that red button, type in your address, and you will find out what district you are in. It's one of the many services that Democrats of Greater Tucson provides to all voters in Pima County.
Say what? But have you heard how the early balloting is going for the Democrats in this primary? Is it pretty brisk or not?
Well, based on all the people that I know, Democrats are voting by mail in a large numbers, as well as Republicans. I think 80% of voters in Arizona use the early mail-in balloting. And so, you know, while the Democrats are thriving, it's interesting to note that the Republicans are just self-destructing. You know, they censured their own House Speaker, Rusty Bowers, for telling the truth about Trump. Steve Bannon was convicted finally. And the January 6th committee is really getting traction. The Thursday program was watched by 20 million people, and that's more than Sunday night football. And to just show how strong the Democrats are, it looks like the Democrats are going to hold the U.S. Senate because Republican fundraising is way down. WinRed, the Republican platform, only raised $27 million in June, but the Democrats, through Act Blue, raised $65
million. Wow.
Yeah, and all the top 10 Democratic Senate candidates, including our own Mark Kelly, have raised way more than Republicans. So I'm looking forward to, some important Democratic victories coming in November.
Yeah, it looks a little more bleak for the House, but the Senate is still up for grabs. I really believe that. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and that's the key forum for all this legislation because, the Senate is just failing to support Biden on any of his efforts to boost the economy, make the streets safer from gun violence, and
I agree.
And so forth.
All right, Lori Bodine, thanks for being with us. We want everybody to join you Zoom-wise tomorrow at noon for the Democrats of Greater Tucson gathering. That's on Monday. Thank you so much, Larry.
You're welcome, John.
The proceeding and presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment, want to thank Larry Bodine, the president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. From the Perfection Auto Work Studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. lot of people are saying. You said that Mike Emery's the best mechanic in the world. He is.
September 1964.
The one and only Beatles!
Mike, this is a life-changing moment, man. I mean, the Beatles live in concert.
They sound just like the records, man.
Oh, man, I know exactly what I want to do with my life. Tomorrow I'm going to Marshall's Music Store and buy a guitar.
You can't play guitar.
I'll learn. Now, what about you? You gonna play drums? What?
How did those four dudes get here anyway?
Hey, in that fancy car over there, man, next to the stage.
Well, you know what I was thinking? I want to be the guy that makes sure they get to the next concert. I want to work on cars. You know, back in the day, everyone wanted to be a musician, but not me. I wanted to fix cars. This is Mike Emery from Perfection Auto Works with a passion for doing your auto and truck repairs correctly. Imagine driving along in your car with the radio tuned and ice-cold air conditioning on, cruising with peace of mind. 323-8650 and PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
If there ever was a time to get active in local politics, it's right now. This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson. I'm calling on you to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Don't miss this chance to make a difference. Activate yourself today with Democrats.